Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally, 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on 20 small independent businesses when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institutions. They're banned from our national consciousness. And now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools or public institutions. And we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, I say that that's a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years or so. Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't have an aspirin given to her in a public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what work? Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 articulable benefits for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law or the Law of God or the Common Law or Natural Law or Karma or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about this thing of small private business, 20 small private businesses that you and I can do to weather the storm that's coming upon us, an economic storm, a Great Depression, a national abandonment of our constitutional principles and our biblical principles, our heritage from 200 years. We've adopted this communism here in the United States, and for that matter around the world, and now it's coming to a head. It's coming to fruition. It's payback time. That's what it boils down to. And the payback time is coming in the form of hyperinflation. So there's inflation now going around the world. Every country is being affected by it. It ultimately will end up in hyperinflation worldwide, a collapse of the world's economies. We reported on that to you a couple of weeks ago. That's called the bad news. And then I said, there's got to be some good news here. You know, so what's the good news? And the good news to all of this is that there's a solution to the problem. You know, before we had this communism, we had a system here worldwide. We had a system here in the United States. And in the Anglo-Saxon countries, we practiced the Ten Commandment model. And we practiced that Ten Commandment model, and it benefited all of us. But we abandoned that around the turn of the century, back around 1900 on. We decided that we were going to practice communism. And we have. We did. And we are. And there's a result that comes from it. And this result isn't good, and it's not good for any of us around the world, and we'd all of us like to avoid it. So I thought I'd bring in the cause and effect relationship here and suggest that maybe we might be better off if we went back to the old model, you know, the model that did work in the past, and we didn't like it, and we objected to it, but it did work. And when it worked in the past, it gave us a result, and that result was pretty good. America became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world, politically, economically, and militarily, practicing this Ten Commandment model. And now we have abandoned that. You know, for instance, the Ten Commandment model calls for home education. You, Joe, have the duty of educating your child in your home school and to educate that child to these laws, these Ten Commandments, these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. And we Americans used to do that. Here in this country, we did that. And then somebody suggested to us that we needed a public school system. And little by little, we adopted the public school system starting in 1886 in California. And now we have this 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto installed nationwide, and we practice and we teach the Ten Commandments in those public schools. I mean, the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in those schools in place of the Ten Commandments. And by the way, did you know that we used to actually teach the Ten Commandments in our public schools? That's right. We used to teach the Bible and the Ten Commandments in our public school. That was before we came to the understanding and realization that we should be practicing separation of church and state. See, our founding fathers didn't understand that. They not only didn't understand it, they didn't practice that. And as a result of that, we got a result. And that result was the wealthiest nation in the world, the most politically powerful nation in the world, and the most militarily powerful nation in the world. Okay, so now we changed, and we're now practicing these 10 planks. Now, if that's what you want, and that's what you want to do, you keep after it, because you have arrived. You are now at the pinnacle of success. This is it. This is payback. This is payoff. For those of you that aren't too sure that this is the payoff that you are looking for over here, maybe we could go back to practicing what worked in the past. And that's what I do, that's what I suggest, and that's what we teach here. So if you're looking for more communism, this is not the school for you. And that's why I always suggest that people get the free introductory CD package, because the Ten Commandment model, freedom, is not for everybody. This is not for everybody. Some people can't handle this at all. So I thought I'd share with you a little bit here on the Ten Commandment model, some of the scriptures that deal with the Ten Commandments and what we're doing here in this country, what has changed. And I'll start with Luke 6:46, where Jesus asks this rhetorical question. He says, "Why do you people call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's in Luke 6, verse 46. That's Jesus. He said, "Why do you people go to church? Why do 65% of you people go to church every Sunday in the United States of America, and you do not do what I tell you? You call me Lord, you call me Jesus, but you don't do what I do. You don't do what I say." Think about that. Now, Jesus practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. And there was a story. A guy came up to him one day. It's in Matthew 19. And he came up to him one day and he says, "Hey, what do I have to do to have eternal life? What do I have to do to go to heaven?" I guess is what we would say today, to paraphrase it. And Jesus cited the Ten Commandments. He did not say to the man, "Well, you know, if you want to go to heaven and live with me on gold paved street, you need to send your children to public school, put your money in the bank, practice paper currency, stocks, and bonds." Jesus didn't suggest that at all. In fact, he cited five of the Ten Commandments. Listen to the story here. It's in Matthew 19:16. He says, "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, then keep the commandments.' And he said unto him, 'Well, which?' And Jesus said, 'You shall do no murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And then the young man said, 'Well, I've been doing that since I was a kid.' And so he gave him one more thing, and the rich man, he said, 'Well, that makes me real sad and sorry,' and so he went off to practice communism, or whatever it was he was practicing. Now, the Ten Commandments were not foreign and alien to our founding fathers. They're not foreign and alien to our Constitution. We Americans used to practice that in this country. We don't anymore, but we used to. And we used to teach it. We used to teach those Ten Commandments in our public schools. We don't anymore, but we used to. And when we did, we got a different result. We were the wealthiest, most powerful, political, economic, and military power in the world. And then we changed in about 1933 with this Great Depression. Well, we actually changed in 1913 when we adopted the Federal Reserve, went on to fiat paper currency, bankrupted our nation. Then we went into a Great Depression, elected Franklin D. Roosevelt, and he enacted all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto into our political system. And there's a result that comes from that. There's a reward. Now, Jesus made an observation in the Bible. It's in Matthew 4, verse 4. He said, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The day he said that, the day Jesus said those words, and he said, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God," not one word of the New Testament had yet been written, not a word. Furthermore, he cited that out of the Old Testament. He cited that directly from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Jesus thought the Old Testament had real merit. So with the rich man, he cited five of the Ten Commandments out of Exodus chapter 20. And then he cited Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he said, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus did not know that the Old Testament had been abolished and done away with, which is what we learn in our Christian churches today. He didn't know that. So I thought I'd pass that along to you. Now, there's these two models. Remember, we've been talking about these two political, economic, and social models, the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Over the last 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years, we've had a number of names for it. We call it capitalism, socialism, fascism, Nazism, capitalism. I mean, we've got labels and names that we hang on this mystery Babylon religion, and that's what it is. Communism is a religion. It's the opposite side to the Ten Commandments. Now, you and I, we have choices to make. And, you know, you can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can live by the Ten Commandments. You can practice that law, or you can reject it. Here in America, we've rejected it. In Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Western Europe, China, Russia, Brazil, Africa. I mean, around the world, we have rejected it. Now, that's not unusual or abnormal. That is very normal. To reject the Ten Commandments, to reject the Bible, to reject God is very, very normal. In fact, if you didn't, you'd be abnormal. And that's what God himself says. And he said that in Romans 8, verse 7. That's Romans 8, verse 7. He said the carnal mind, the natural, normal, everyday garden variety mind, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It isn't subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So if you're just a normal Joe Sixpack, you know, graduated from college and you got a degree after your name and you got money in the bank and a Master or Visa card, that's normal. Everybody does it. And if you're using gold and silver coin, don't have a MasterCard, and you're a private trader at law on a cash basis, there's something wrong with you. That's abnormal. That's not the carnal mind that's being spoken of here. That's somebody that's been reformed. Now, I hear a lot about love, and you probably do too. If you're one of that 65% that goes to church every Sunday, you know, and we're talking about the average Joe Sixpack over here, you know, you're normal, going to church. You want to do what's right. And so you've heard a lot about love. Well, the Bible has something to say about love also, so I just thought I'd cite to you directly here from 1 John 5:3. And in 1 John 5:3, there's an actual definition for love, the scriptural definition. 1 John 5, verse 3. He says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." So here's God comes along and says, you know, this law that says thou shalt not steal, that's not a grievous law. That's not a bad program at all. That's a good program. Now, under the statute, and under this law that says thou shalt not steal, there are some statutes. And one of those statutes is in Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34 and 35, I believe it is. Let me see if I can find that for you here. It's Leviticus 19. Let me see if I can. Just be patient with me. I'm old and slow here. 19, 34 and 35, I believe it is. Deals with just weights and balances. He says right here, he says, it's verse 35. 35 and 36. He says, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have, because I am the Eternal your God, which brought you up out of Egypt." So under the law that says thou shalt not steal is a statute that says you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag, to paraphrase it. In Proverbs, I think it's Solomon that says you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. Federal Reserve notes are theft instruments. They're designed to steal. Pure and simple. There's any other reason for paper money than to steal. That's the intent behind it. It violates the Eighth Commandment and the Tenth Commandments. There's intent, and thou shalt not steal. Now, in America, we used to practice just weights and balances. Our founding fathers, at Article 1, Section 10 of our Constitution, gave us gold and silver coin. And then our Federal Reserve in 1913 gave us paper money. They weren't the first, they weren't the only, but they were the biggest and the best. And then Franklin Roosevelt took our gold away, and Lyndon Johnson took our silver away, and now we've got a fiat paper currency. We have rejected just weights and balances, and we have now adopted that communist philosophy of the abolition of all right to property and the income tax. That's the second plank. Abolition of property is the first plank. Second plank is income tax. Fifth plank is central bank. Eighth plank is Social Security. Tenth plank is public school. We've adopted all of that and more, and there's a result that comes from it. There's a payback. That's all I'm reporting here, is that there's a payback. And in Matthew 6:24, your Creator says you can't serve two masters. You cannot practice communism and the Ten Commandments at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. I mean, boys and girls, you're either going to practice paper money or gold and silver. Which is it? You're either going to send your kid to public school, or you're going to educate him to the Ten Commandments at home. Which is it? He's not going to get the Ten Commandments or the law of God in public school. They're mutually exclusive. Your kid going to public school is going to learn how to use paper money. He's not going to learn how to use gold and silver. You didn't. Why would you think that anything's changed? So that's why your Creator told you can't serve two masters. I mean, you're going to practice communism, or you're going to practice the Ten Commandments, but they're mutually exclusive, and you're going to do both. And so there's a result that comes from it. Now, I reported to you that I'm getting a lot of calls. A lot of people are calling, writing, emailing, and so on. They're saying, hey, I can't make ends meet. Things aren't working out right. And then I've lost my job, and what am I going to do? And it goes on and on and on. So I'm making a report. So I started off, and I said, let me give you the bad news. And so I reported from the International Forecaster and the Privateer and other private newsletters. Then I said, okay, we've got to have a solution to this. So I gave you the good news. Went right to the Bible, and I said, let me give you some good news. This isn't all bad. There's money to be made even in depressed times. And so I thought I'd come back and say, okay, well, now let's take a look at 20 little small private businesses that we can operate in a depression and a runaway inflation to make a living. And in fact, not only make a living, but make pretty good money. And so that's what I've been reporting on, is these 20 small private businesses. So we talked about underground movers. Remember that? Now, maybe you're a truck driver, over-the-road guy, and you've been making good money, you know, with Prime or Yellow Freight or somebody like that, or Garrett Freighter. And then I said, listen, let me tell you about a guy that has an old Avis moving truck, an old Avis van. I think he paid $16,000 for it, as I recall, down in New Orleans. And he's making over $100,000 a year today, just moving people out of the university and moving somewhere else. Well, I say today because I don't know how things are going in New Orleans. This is before the flood down there, when I say today, I mean, you know, last time I heard from him, that's what he's doing. Now, he probably got flooded out. In fact, I could almost guarantee he got flooded out, because I was at his house, and I walked out his front door one day, there's this great big mound of dirt out in front of the cul-de-sac. I said, what in the hell, as a ship is steaming by up on top of this mound of dirt, he said, oh, that's the Mississippi River. That's the dike. I mean, that thing is humongous. Yeah, he's been flooded out, no doubt about it. He was, I think he said that he was 5 feet below sea level. Something like that. Some wild, crazy, off-the-wall number like that. So I told you about these underground movers. Well, listen, if he can make 100 grand a year, so can you. And so I said, well, let me show you how that's done. So we talked about that. And we talked about chimney sweeps and typing. Remember that? And well drilling and welding and window washing. Remember some of these stories that we went through over here? Paperback books, the cement business. I don't know if I told you about the cement business over here, but I'm going to tell you about a cement finisher. Lost his job. You know, he was working for a contractor, lost his job, one of these recessions. And so he didn't have anything else to do. He'd pick up. And so he threw some sackcrete in the back of it and went out and he started nosing around. And you can do this too. Just drive up and down the streets and you'll see trees that have pushed up the sidewalk, and you'll see cracks in retaining walls, and you'll see broken pavement and one thing and another. And so he just started knocking on people's doors. Now, this guy used to make $100 a day working, you know, as a cement finisher, which was good money back in those days. I mean, he's making good money. He was a rebar guy. You know, he'd get up on these big, he's a construction worker. And then he'd get up on big buildings and tie rebar together, and he'd finish cement and one thing and another, and port and one thing. And he for big contracting companies, and he's making good money. Now, he's unemployed one day, and so he says, well, I know something about cement. And so he's out here fixing retaining walls and knocking out, you know, slabs and cutting roots and resetting cement. No, just little small jobs, making $350 a day. Yeah, he boosted his income from $100 to $350 a day, and there's a very logical reason behind that. You see, contractors who are in the cement business, they're not interested in a $300 job. They're interested in $3,000 jobs or $30,000 jobs or $300,000 jobs, but not $300. And so, you know, normal homeowners, they can't get a cement contractor to come out and do a $300-$400 job. When they come out and bid on it, they bid $3,000 or $4,000, and that just scares people to death. And, you know, they've got a crack in a retaining wall, or they've got a tree that's pushing up the sidewalk, and they'd like to fix that. Now, if a guy in a pickup comes by and mixes the cement in a wheelbarrow and charges a guy $350 and he does that in a day, he makes $350 a day. Now, that's doable. How long does it take a sledgehammer out here and bust up a slab of cement 3 inches thick or 4 inches and load it in the back of your pickup and haul it off to the dump? How long does it take you to chop that tree root out and then mix up some sackcrete and pour some cement back in the sidewalk? You know, now, I'm not suggesting that housewives go out and go into the cement business, but, you know, a lot of you guys out there are cement finishers. And maybe you just never thought about going out and doing little small jobs. You've been thinking about building some new building in New York, you know, that's 80 stories high. And they ain't building those buildings, and so you're sitting over here saying, I don't know how I'm going to make a living. I'm unemployed. Have you ever thought about going across the river to New Jersey, out to the suburbs, and just drive around looking for something that needs filling? That was old Henry Kaiser, remember? He said he put on his cement trucks, you know, find a need and fill it. Find a need and fill it. Remember I told you about upholstering, and I told you about window washing, you know, about Tim and the story over there in Sambo's restaurant. And then I talked to you about a produce business in Hillside, Illinois, and house painting in Honolulu, Hawaii. Remember those little stories? Those are all real people. Every single one of those is a real guy. And I told you about there used to be an old TV program called What's My Line? And the panel was supposed to have some clues, and they're supposed to guess what this guy's business was. And so they would guess all kinds of things. I mean, they're crazy, off-the-wall jobs, businesses, and little entrepreneurial things that people do in life out in the real world. I mean, not everybody, you know, goes to the office and files papers, you know, or not everybody is a stockbroker buying and selling stocks. There's people that do all kinds of crazy things out there, and they make pretty good money at it. Then I told you about barter. Remember trading, the grandfather's clock? Now listen, back in the Great Depression of the 1930s, I interviewed a lot of people that went through the Depression. One of them was a guy named Russell Harvey. He not only got through the Depression, he made a lot of money at it. And I thought to myself as a kid growing up, I said, wow, that's amazing. Everybody I talked to was unemployed, they're starving to death, they're on welfare and food stamps, and God bless Franklin Roosevelt for saving us from the Depression. And here's this old man Harvey over here, he's making money hand over fist. Right in the middle of the Depression. Built a house in 1940 for $3,000. God knows what that house would be worth, you know, at the peak of the housing bubble. Of course, now it's losing value every day like everybody else's. But the moral of the story is, you know, that there's business going on. Down in Argentina, in 2001, 2003, you know, when they were going through their economic collapse, that was just a little country down there. Argentina went through an economic collapse, just like we Americans are going to go through right now. We've been through this in 1783 through 1787. Actually, that collapse lasted from 1783 to 1794, 11 years. And then we went through it again, minor, you know, depressions, 1832 through 36, 1841 through 43, 1875 through 78, 1893, 1907, 1922, 1929 to 37. And then since then, we've had recessions, 1947, 48, 1958, 59, 1974, 75, 76, 79, 82, recessions. You know, we've been through this before, and some people seem to thrive. Some people just can't make it. All right, so let me give you a couple of pointers here. When a recession comes, the things that people were buying in the past when they had a pocket full of money, they're not buying anymore. So businesses like the other day I saw Starbucks. Say, that's a luxury business. You know, when you're paying $4 for a cup of coffee, you got to have money. And when you don't have money, you don't pay $4 for a cup of coffee. There's other things you need the $4 for. So you take the $4 for a cup of coffee today. You mix that with $4 for a cup of coffee tomorrow, and you go buy a can of coffee, and then you drink coffee at home. You drink 200 cups of coffee at home for the same $8 that you were drinking two cups worth out of Starbucks. So Starbucks is closing 600 stores and laying off 12,000 staff. Do you think Starbucks is a good business to be investing in a depression? All right, now, have you been watching the automobile business? As the price of gasoline is now at $4 plus a gallon, have you noticed that the SUV and the Humvee business has just fallen off a cliff? Do you think that SUVs and Humvees are the businesses to be investing in as the price of gas escalates from $4 to $7 a gallon? And get ready for $7 a gallon gas, because it's coming to a city near you in the United States of America. And get this, over in England, they're already paying $10 a gallon for gas. So those Englishmen, they ain't feeling sorry for you people in Philadelphia paying $4.50 a gallon for gas. Now, they don't have any sympathy for you at all. They're already paying double that plus, and you're going to be paying it here. The difference is that the people in England already have these little cars that get 30, 40 miles to the gallon, or they're riding on motorcycles and motor scooters that get 80 or 100 or 200 miles to the gallon. So yeah, they're paying $10 a gallon, but they put it in their motor scooter and drive 200 miles. And then you put it in your Humvee and you drive it 8 miles. Now, you know, wake up and get ready for reality, because it's coming to a city near you. And so I thought I'd point that out to you, that no, I don't think those kind of cars are going to sell well, but cheap cars, you know, cars that get, you know, 30 miles to the gallon, those old Datsuns and Datsuns and Toyotas and so on, I think those are going to have more value, and they're going to hold their value a lot longer. And so buying and selling and trading cars, you know, that are gas efficient, I think you're going to make more money than buying, selling, and trading cars. So if you're a used car salesman, you know, I think you're finding out that an old Toyota is probably worth more than a whole lot newer SUV. All right, so buying habits change. And so we as salesmen need to change our selling habits. We got to sell what people want. We got to find a need and fill it. And that's what our business school is all about. It's to teach you how to count, how to stop practicing communism, and then how to sell what people want and prosper from them. It's just that simple. No big mystery. Buy low, sell high. But you got to buy something that's of value. You got to buy something that people want to buy. So I'm not out here buying SUVs and Humvees and et cetera. We'll leave that to the United States Army. Let them buy Humvees. I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet daily and radio worldwide daily. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can all be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. And if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, how are we going to make money when the world comes to an end? Let me bring you 33 articulable benefits that we were offered 3,200 years ago. And then let's see if this appeals to you, because some years back, as a practicing communist, I made a lot of money and I lost it all. Then I went out and I made a lot of money and I lost it all. And then I went out the third time and I made a lot of money and I lost it all. And that's what woke me up. I said, what in the hell is this all about? I go out here and create a business, and I make a lot of money, and then when it's all said and done, I can't hang on to it. And some guy rips me off. The government is taking $200,000 a year and leaving me with $100,000. So you're sitting there saying, well, poor little rich boy. No. I'm a wage earner. I'm a contractor. And I went out and made a lot of money, and then I lost it. Here was what my problem was. I couldn't hang on to it. Just absolutely couldn't hang on to it. I'd go out and make it. Most Americans are in that boat. Most Americans are hard workers. You know, that is the type A's. I mean, we got a lot of lazies here too, but you know, the average Joe Sixpack, I mean, got the guys working night and day, especially if you're a little small businessman and entrepreneur, and you're out here hustling, and you're making a lot of money, but you can't hang on to it. And it's just filtering through your hands. By the time you pay your income tax and Social Security, you pay your payroll taxes, you pay your inflation tax, you pay the bank all of their fees and commissions, you pay your insurance, you pay your overhead, you pay the power bill, and so on. When you get to the end of the day, you know, you're scrambling to make ends meet. Join the club. Hell, we're all in the same boat. Those are the symptoms of a practicing communist. You are practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and as a result of that, there's payback. There's a result that comes from it. Now, the second plank calls for a heavy progressive income tax. Here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, let me read you the opposite to the income tax in the Bible. God asks you this question. Joey says, will a man rob God? And he says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And God's answer is in tithes and offerings. So you got tithe, that's 10%. Tithes is plural. That's more than one, and there's three tithes and offerings. In addition to the 30% in tithes, there are offerings. He says, this is my taxing program. And he tells you to practice his law. And you don't do that. You practice the income tax, payroll taxes, Social Security taxes. There are 14 taxes that you're paying. Capital gains tax, property tax. And these 14 taxes are driving you into poverty. These 14 taxes come from communism. They don't come from God in the Bible. But it's a choice that you made. Now, you're sitting there saying, well, I didn't know there was anything else. Well, that's what I'm here to tell you. There's another choice. It's been here for 3,500 years. Well, 3,200. And he says, you bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Eternal of Hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer. I will rebuke the drought in California. I will rebuke the floods in Iowa and Indiana. And then I'll pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive it. Now, you know, there's your choice. Now, you're sitting there saying, well, I don't know how to implement that. I teach a school here. It's called our Mosaic Law School. There are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. You want to learn what they are? I'll teach them to you. And furthermore, I not only know how many laws there are, I know where they're all located in the Bible. I've researched them all out, code-pleated the statutes. I know all the penalties to them, and I put them in alphabetical order. Now, how do you like that? And I don't even go to church. Wouldn't waste my time. You can't learn the Ten Commandments and the law of God in church. They don't teach it there. You cannot learn the Ten Commandments or the laws of God in public school. They do not teach the Ten Commandments or the laws of God in the public school. They teach communism in the Christian church. They teach communism in the public schools. And the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for free education for all children in public schools so that they will have a captive audience to teach communism to. Communism is an immensely profitable enterprise. Immensely profitable. Not for everybody, but for certain people. Bankers, politicians, preachers, all make tons of money off of communism. And that's why they advance it. That's why they promote it. That's why they sell it. They can't lose and you can't win. It's heads I win and tails you lose, but to show you how fair I want to be, I'll let you flip the coin. So if that's what you want to play, well, get after it. But I tested it, it didn't work for me, and I don't think it's going to work for you any better than it worked for me. Now, God offered us 33 articulable benefits, and I think that they're pretty good benefits. Now, tithing is just one law out of 133 laws. It's just one statute out of 759. The creator of the universe runs the entire universe on 759 laws. How do you like that? Your state cannot run your traffic code on 759 traffic statutes. Every state in the United States has more than 2,000 statutes in your traffic code. God knows how many statutes are in your tax code, criminal code, welfare code. God can run all of those codes, run the entire universe, the entire world, every country in it on 759. And those are devolved upon 133 subjects. Just 133 subject matters, like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall not have an unjust waiter bounce in your bag. I mean, you know, just simple, straightforward. I know they sound a little crazy, a little nutty. Here's a law over here in Leviticus 19:19, just to give you an illustration of a nutty law. Well, it appears to be kind of nutty. You know, listen, it says, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind. You shall not sow your field with mingled seed, and neither shall a garment mingled with linen and woolen come upon you. So he says, don't crossbreed your cattle, don't hybridize your seed, and don't wear clothes with mingled fabric. We here in the United States are always busy crossbreeding. Hell, we got Dolly the sheep. We're gene splicing and cloning and doing all kinds of crazy breeding practices that statute tells you not to do. And you can sit there and say, well, why does God tell us not to do that? What the hell difference does it make? Why? Even if I sat here and said, I don't know why, I can report to you that he told you not to do it.
It happens that there is a very logical reason why, because it degenerates the species, and it deviates from survival of the fittest. And it weakens the species, and you get disease that comes in. And because of our breeding practices, we now have blackleg and mad cow disease and all kinds of other problems in our cattle. But, you know, leaving that aside, even if we didn't know that and couldn't figure it out and you lived in the city, the mere fact that God told you to go to bed at 8 o'clock. You know, my dad used to have bedtime at 8 o'clock when I was a little kid. He didn't go to bed at 8 o'clock. He caroused around at all hours of the night smoking cigarettes and drinking Four Roses. And then he didn't go to bed at 8 o'clock and get 8 hours sleep. But he told me to, and if I didn't, he'd whip me. He'd cause pain, anguish, and sorrow and suffering. It was enough that he said, bedtime for you, Bonzo. That was it. Now, here's our God. He says, don't hybridize your seed. You know, you got gene splicing now. You've got flounder gene spliced into your tomatoes. Your God told you not to do that. He told you not to breed tomatoes together and come up with hybridization. And now look at where you're at. You were told not to do that. There's a result that comes from that. And you're going to see starvation and famine as a result of it. But, you know, just to point out to you that he said, don't do that. Now, listen, we can use open pollinated seeds, kids, and we can breed Jersey cows to Jersey cows. And we don't need to clone. You know, we've been doing pretty good, you know, for the last 5,000 years without clones, and we can do it for another 5,000. And then notice this. He says, don't let a garment mingle of linen and wool come upon you. Go into Walmart. I challenge you to go to Walmart and buy a pair of socks that aren't mingled. Challenge. You ain't going to find them there. They don't have. Now, I can wear all wool or all cotton socks. I can buy them. I can find them, and that's what I do. And I can follow that law. And I just want to point out there's 759 of those statutes. They're organized into 133 titles of subject matters of law. And he said, do that, and I will give you rain in due season. The land shall yield or increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your stores of goods will not run out. There will be no famine or shortages. I thought that was a pretty good benefit. Sounds good to me. And I said, that's what I want. So I started practicing Leviticus 19:19. Now, there's a little more to it than that. There's some other statutes. And you need to learn what those statutes are. And I teach a school here. It's called the Mosaic Law. It's in two parts. And the doctrines. There's 90 common doctrines out there. Common. There's probably 1,000 doctrines that your church has come up with. But there's about 90 common doctrines. One of them deals with this thing called the rapture. And then we take you through the Bible and show you all the rapture statutes. Would you like to know where all those rapture statutes are located? And then we take you through the scripture and show you all the great tribulation statutes. And would you like to know where all those great tribulation statutes are located? And then there's some penal clause statutes. You know, it says, if you don't practice my Ten Commandments, here's what I'm going to do to you. Would you like to know where all the statutes are located so you can see what's going to happen to you if you don't practice just weights and balances? Now, this isn't, you know, religion here, and we're not telling you, you know, you need to give your heart to Jesus over here because he already told you I ain't listening to you. Remember that? I reported that to you more than once. But you still need a recovery over here, and you're going into hyperinflation whether you like it or not, and you're going into a Great Depression whether you like it or not, and I don't care whether you believe me or not. It's irrelevant. I didn't come here to persuade you that I'm right and you're wrong and you need to believe me. I don't have anything to sell here, you know. Well, I'm lying to you. I've got a school to sell. But I want to tell you this, that the school isn't for everybody. And that's why I say, why don't you write or call us and ask for our free general law CD package first and see if you think this is for you. Because the basis of our educational program is the Ten Commandments, and a lot of you people out there are so prejudiced against it, you don't want to hear that. And if you don't want to hear that, you're wasting your money. You don't want to come to this school. And you don't want to buy our correspondence program because it's not for you. Now, if it is, then there's quite a few. There's not a great majority out there that are interested in this, but there's a few. And if you want to learn how to do that, well, then we'd like to teach you how to do that, you know, use just weights and balances, like how to use gold coin. I use gold coin. The tuition at this school is charged in gold coin. If you go to this school, you have to pay in gold coin. Did you know that? Okay, that's what the Bible requires. It's what the law of God requires. That's what our Constitution requires in Article 1, Section 10. Did you know that? That's what your founding fathers of the Constitutional Convention mandated. I know you don't do that. I know that that's not Republican John McCain and that's not Democrat Barack Obama's platform. But I'm not here espousing John McCain or Barack Obama. I'm espousing the Ten Commandments. I'm espousing our Constitution. And if you're opposed to our Constitution, this program isn't for you. You ought not to waste your money in this school. And then I don't want to lead you astray here. So that's why we offer this free educational general law CD program. And we say, well, take a look at it and see if this is for you. Now, I tested it, and it works real well for me. See, I have a gallon of cream in my refrigerator. I always ask my students, I say, how many of you have 1 gallon of cream in your refrigerator? And they all look at me with a blank stare. I have yet, in 25 years, to ask that question of literally thousands of students that have come through this school. Not a single one has ever had 1 gallon of cream, that is, whipping cream, in their refrigerator. Not one. Boys and girls, everybody in America ought to have a gallon of cream in their refrigerator. It's a sign of wealth. And I ask them, well, how many of you have 3 or 4 or 5 gallons of milk in your refrigerator? Now, that once in a while, somebody will have. And occasionally, you'll find somebody that has a milk cow, and they'll have a little milk. They haven't thought much about cream. They probably have all the cream they want, but I actually keep a gallon in my refrigerator all the time, in case the wife needs it, you know, for gravy or cooking and one thing or another. And then how about gold and silver? You know, you've got any gold, you got any silver, you got any wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, you got any cattle, land? If I ask you, how many of you have debt? I think everybody could raise their hand. I don't have any debt either. I avoid debt like H, herpes, and VD. And you know the Bible tells you to avoid debt. The debtor is servant to the lender. So out of these 33 articulable benefits, you know, debt-free is one of them. He says you'll dwell in your land safely. I'll give you peace in the land. I'll rid evil beasts out of the land. I'll get rid of the wolves. I'll get rid of the bears. I'll get rid of the poisonous snakes. Hell, we're busy introducing poisonous snakes, wolves, and bears into the land. That's a part of our public policy. I don't know where you got the idea that having rattlesnakes and wolves killing your livestock and having bears marauding around inside your family, and mountain lions out in California every year, so they kill three or four people out there with mountain lions, huh? Our forefathers came over here and ridded the land of these evil beasts, and we're over here busily reestablishing them. Guy says it's green. Okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success here, kids. He says, you shall have no war in your land. You shall chase your enemies. They shall fall before you by the sword. I'll have respect unto you. Have you noticed that our wars aren't going nearly as well as they used to? Our enemies are chasing us. We're not chasing them. And we don't have any war in the United States yet, but it's coming to a city near you shortly. You wait until these people in the United States don't have trucks bringing food into their supermarkets and then watch the war in your land, which will then be followed by martial law and then military occupation. And that's coming to the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Western Europe. And you people in England, wake up, smell the coffee. God said, I'll have respect unto you, and I'll make you fruitful and multiply you. I'll establish my covenant with you. You'll be fruitful and multiply. Have you noticed our birth rates have gone down in the Anglo-Saxon countries? We're not fruitful, and we're not being multiplied. And in order to maintain our population, we're letting people come into our countries. And you people in France have been bringing Muslims in, remember? Now you got riots in your streets. The stranger that's within your gate is rising up high above you in France, in England, United States. Paying attention? See, there's the Ten Commandment model, and then there's the Ten Plank to the Communist Manifesto model, and we adopted the model. And there's a result that comes from it. I'm not going to change it, but I'm going to report on it, and then I'm going to tell you, well, you brought it on yourself. He says, I'll establish my covenant with you, and I'll set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. We have a God here in the United States, but it's not this God. This God's a different critter. This is the God of the Ten Commandments. When you go to church, your God doesn't teach the Ten Commandments. Your God, your preacher in your church tells you to send your kid to public school. He tells you to use paper money and put it in the offering plate. He tells you that's good. He tells you that's okay for you to have a mortgage on your house, but that mortgage on your house is being foreclosed on, Joe, and your house is being repossessed, and you're going to be out in the street living in your car until it's repossessed. That ain't good, Joe. No, the Ten Commandment model is you should own your house free and clear, and you should build your own house, and maybe you should have four or five of them, and then you own them all. Oh, no, that isn't what you learned in Christian church. They told you that you should go out here and get a mortgage on your house. In fact, you should sign up for the building fund, and the church will borrow money from the bank or two. Now he goes on. He says, you will be set above all nations on earth. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the fruit of your body. 5% of Americans now have birth defects. 5%. Shouldn't have any birth defects. Zero. Zilch. Blessed shall be the fruit of your cattle. Blessed shall you be when you come in or when you go out. You'll be blessed in everything you do. It's the Midas touch. Everything you do will have a blessing connected with it. You'll make money. Would you like to have the Midas touch? Everything you touch turns to gold. He said, you will be a holy people to God. If you practice the Ten Commandments, you will be a holy people unto God. That's his standard. That's his modality for government. Ten Commandments model. All the people of the earth will be afraid of you. You will lend but not borrow. I don't see all the people in the world afraid of us. In fact, over there in Afghanistan and Iraq, they don't seem to have much fear of us at all. And you shall lend but not borrow. Oh, no, no. See, we used to be the world's number one lender. Now we're the world's number one borrower. And all you people that have been lending to us ain't getting paid back either. And that's assuming that we wanted to pay you back, and I'm not sure we want to pay you. But even if we wanted to, we couldn't. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources. You shall be the head and not the tail in all that you do. That's not the case. We're the tail being wagged by the UN dog, aren't we? I'll take sickness away from you. Listen, 99% of Americans are sick. 99% of Americans have symptoms. Only 1% of Americans today, as I speak, are symptom-free. In 1917, 60% of us were symptom-free. 40% of us had symptoms. 40% of us were sickies. Today it's 99%. God has not taken sickness away from us. He has cursed us with more and more sickness. 70 years, all of your days will be fulfilled. The average lifespan in the United States, 75 years. But it's going down. And take a look at our sickies and take a look at our death rates from cancer. You know, our death rate from cancer has gone from 1 in 33 to 1 in 2, and it's headed for 1 in 1 in another 12 years. That's what they tell us. You'll inherit the land. We haven't inherited the land. It's all mortgaged to the bank, and we're all in hock up to our eyebrows, aren't we, as Americans? I'm not, but you are. And you'll gain great wealth. That's oil and minerals. We don't have great wealth. ExxonMobil has great wealth. We are dirt grubbing paupers working for the corporation, remember? And God promised us multiplied gold, silver herds and flocks. We don't have multiplied gold, silver herds and flocks. Oh, yeah, Archer Daniels Midland does. ExxonMobil does, but you and I don't. And you shall be set on high above all nations. America is not on high above all nations. We're being brought down low, and the stranger that's within our gates is now rising high above us and bringing us down very low. Listen, these 33 articulable benefits are available to you and me and everybody else. I took a look at those, and I said, yeah, that sounds pretty good to me, and I think I'll buy into that. And I did. And I'm here to report to you that these 33 benefits, they work like a shot. But you got to practice the Ten Commandments to get them. And the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto is the antithesis to wealth. If you want to stand in line and share the shortage, live in your car, and have your house repossessed, you're on the right track. Stick with it. Now, if you want to get off that treadmill and you want to do something more intelligent and you want to learn the Ten Commandments, this is the right place to do it. This is the only school in America, to my knowledge, that teaches the Ten Commandments. If there's another one, write me a letter. Hell, I'd like to talk to somebody else out there that teaches the Ten Commandments and the law of God. Send me a letter. Send me an email. Here's another one. I imagine there might be two or three or five out there, but they're pretty few and far between, wouldn't you say? All right, I'm out of time. I got to remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. And the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.